What is up, everybody? This is the Rafters Podcast, episode 11, brought to you by Couch Guy Sports. My name is Connor Strayer, and I am here with a new producer and co-host of the podcast, Liam McDade. Liam, how you doing, dude?
Living the dream. How are you, Connor?
I'm awesome. So this is going to be awesome just because me and Liam have barely talked to each other. I know we're both huge Celtics fans, but I don't know his take on the last season or this upcoming season. And he doesn't know my take. So we're either going to agree with each other or we're just going to argue the whole time, which will be fun, or it's just going to be good for you guys. So we'll see each other's takes and it'll be all fun and games from there. So tonight, this is the October 24th, Thursday. Last night, the Celtics lost to the 76ers 107-93. And at times, They kept up in the first half. It all looked good. I thought the Celtics looked like the better team in the first half. But in the second half, they just fell apart. And it was just like last season. No one can seem to put the ball in the basket at times when they needed it. Liam, what did you think of last night's game?
Really just sloppy all around. I mean, it's a classic first game. You know, they went out there. There were a ton of penalties, very slow action, a lot of missed shots. Some players taking terrible shots, but it's exactly what I expect from a first game. But I don't know, it didn't yield well for the rest of the season the way it turned out for the Celtics.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it was good to see players like Gordon Hayward score 25 points. Like, he crushed it. And I'm a huge Gordon Hayward fan, and I'm hoping he can continue this. But last season, we saw him do the same. Like, we saw what he did last season. He would have a big game and then he would disappear for the next 2 weeks. So I'm hoping that's not the case this year, but we'll see Friday night. Friday night's a home opener against the Raptors, and I'm going to be at the game. So I'm hoping he puts up points, but we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm hoping that he continues this play as well. I mean, I drafted him to my fantasy team, so I'm really pulling for this guy.
What round did you draft him in?
I got him pretty late. You know, he's kind of one of my players. I think he's the sleeper to have a really big year. Maybe return to his all-star form of 2007. I'm not going to count on it. But, you know, that'd be really – I drafted him and Kemba Walker expecting big things. And obviously not looking good the other way.
Are you're expecting big things out of Kemba, even after last night's 12-point performance?
Yeah, I am. It's like I said, first game, come out there, shake off the rust of the offseason a little bit. I can't imagine Kemba will be averaging 12 points a game for the season. You know, I imagine it would be an outlier. He should be out there leading this team. So,
that's all we can hope for, because we saw what he could do on, the Hornets. I mean, there was really no pressure there. He was putting up numbers, but here in Boston, everyone's looking at him. He's the guy that everyone's going to be like, all right, well, but he's the Kyrie Irving, but without the drama. But last night,
long way from Charlotte anyway.
Yeah. And last night, obviously we saw what Kyrie Irving did. Put up 50 fucking points.
What an asshole.
They lost. They did lose the game, the Nets, to the Timberwolves by 1 point in overtime, but he put up 50 fucking points.
And he missed the shot to win it too, which made me really, really happy. Thank
he
God.
Did, but I wish we had that on our team. Yes. I was a Kyrie Irving guy. I'm a Duke guy, but goddamn, he brought so much drama to this team. But we need Kemba to step up in a big way like that. We need him to be the guy that's going to score the points, be the leader on this team. He's the vet. He knows the deal. And maybe Gordon Hayward will go into that role, but it's tough to say.
Yeah, I mean, Kemba was an all-star starter last year, averaged like 25 points a game. I remember he had this crazy 63-point performance against the Sixers. But I think he could be the leader that Kyrie wasn't. You know, he's not very ego-driven. He's coming from Charlotte where no one watches him. He just is here to win. Everyone's saying it. All you hear is Kemba just wants to win. I hope he, you know, rubs off positively on the younger guys and he doesn't try and take the light away from them like Kyrie did.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. I think he won't try to, like, be like the center of attention. He's not that kind of guy, but I just want to see if he can like take the pressure, because Boston's a huge basketball city. As long, it's just a huge sports city in general. I mean, he was in Charlotte where they can give two fucks about the basketball team.
Yeah. I mean, so,
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say how he's going to perform under the pressure, because we haven't seen it out of him yet. He was playing in a city where he didn't have to perform under this much, like under the magnifying glass. Like, he wasn't under this much pressure.
Yeah, he's got a lot to prove, but I don't know. With the surrounding cast around him, I think he's in a great position to succeed. A lot of the players on the Celtics take the attention away from him, and people will easily forget that he was an all-star last year. He'll go out there and he should be able to get his buckets through the season, so I'm not exactly worried about him.
True. So after last night's game, what are your thoughts on like going forward in the season? I know there's still a bunch of games left to be played, and I know it was just one game. It was the first game on the road against probably one of the teams you're going to be competing against in maybe the Eastern Conference Finals or the round before. What do you think about this upcoming season?
I think there's a lot of promise to it. I'm excited. It'll be there for the entertainment value. I'm not expecting them to make a deep playoff run exactly. I'm just more in it to get like a very entertaining team. But goddamn, they need a center. Just watching Enes Kanter out there starting and then Daniel Theis getting solid minutes. I saw Enes Kanter take a three from the corner, and I was done right there. I was like, man, somebody trade for Blake Griffin or just get a competent big man of any sort. And Kanter did all right. He didn't do bad. But it's just, you need something better. Maybe Robert Williams to step up. He had a nice alley-oop, but for the most part, he didn't even look that great. So I'm worried about that anyway.
No, and I totally agree with you on that. I'm optimistic about this team for the rest of the season. And I know we have a bunch of wings and guards that can play ball and score the points, but what we lost at the end of last season was one of our best players in Al Horford. I mean, he's not a true big man. He's not a true center, but he was basically our center slash big man, whatever you want to call it. And he was probably our second best player last season. So this year, I think that's going to be our Achilles heel. I really think we need to go out for a big man. Like you said, maybe Blake Griffin or someone, whoever is on the trade market. Maybe the Time Lord can step up. Like you said, I saw that alley-oop you were talking about. It looked nice, but other than that, he was kind of a dud. Maybe Baines can step. I mean, Baines, what am I saying? We don't have him anymore. Maybe the I don't even know. Like, we just don't have a true center, and that's what we need. Maybe Taco Fall can have some good games, but he's so raw that I'm not even going to be looking for him till next year. So like you said, a center is much needed on this team.
100%. You never know what players are going to become available throughout the season either. There's always some disruption. Players get unsatisfied with their team. You never know what player will become available. And Danny Ainge is always sniffing his nose to the trade market. So I have faith, you know, in Ainge we trust, but, I don't know. Just right now, from where I'm standing, that's my concern for the season.
Yeah, no, and I, like I said, I totally agree with you. Big man is number one priority right now. We have the wings, we have the guard play. All we need to do is just go out and get not even a dominant big man, but
serviceable
big guy that will clog the lane, grab those boards, and just defend in the paint. Because last night, we did get bullied in the paint a little bit. And Embiid and Horford, they might have not put up the most points on the team, but they did bully us down low. They were able to grab rebounds, and that's something that the Celtics aren't really capable of yet.
Yeah.
But so who do you think this this season is going to be like the Celtics MVP that's on this team right now?
Celtics MVP, I mean, I have to. It seems like the obvious answer is Kemba Walker. We just got him. He's the big name free agent coming in. I mean, obviously, after friggin' 12 points yesterday, it's not the most encouraging thing. But if I'm going to give you a basic answer, I'd have to go with Kemba Walker. But also, watching last night, I've had a lot of faith in my low-key, I want to say Jason Tatum at the same time. I'm really hoping he can make that jump. He had a lot of really amazing shots yesterday, did well from beyond the arc. But then he would also take some really bad, really contested. You can tell he's been working out with Kobe. He takes those, you know, fadeaway jumpers surrounded by three players. And I know a lot of people were bashing him for that, but I think he could end up being the MVP easily. But if I'm going to make a safe bet, I'd have to say Kemba.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think Kemba will so much be the MVP. I was going to say Tatum as well, or even like a black wild card, Gordon Hayward. And I don't want to get too high off like of last night's game, just like you said, like, because like I said before, we saw that last season. He had great games and then he would just disappear. But I think Gordon Hayward's here to stay. I believe he is. And I want to believe he is because the Celtics need him. The Celtics need that guy to come out and just dominate like he did a few years ago in Utah. And if he does, and like you said, if Kemba Walker can turn it around after this first game, he comes out guns blazing Friday night, puts up like 30 points, and Gordon Hayward goes for 20 points, and Tatum scores 20 points, this team will look scary. And that's not even adding Brown in there, who had a huge contract, who signed a huge extension earlier this week for $115 million for 4 years. Did you think they overpaid for that?
100%. Yeah. I've never really been sold on Jaylen Brown. I mean, he's got that prototypical wing body where he can come down low and throw it down. He's got the shot from the outside. Well, it's not the most reliable he can. But, man, there were just – other players were signed that day. Pascal Siakam, Buddy Hield.
Buddy Hield was signed, yeah.
And I think Buddy Hield's a significantly better player than Jaylen Brown. And I believe his contract was about $10 million less than Brown's too. And it's just stuff like that. I really think they overpaid. And now that they signed him, I can't imagine they'd be able to move him. If he has a bad year, you're kind of stuck with this contract, at least for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, you never know. If he ends up balling out, it could work. Maybe he'll make me eat my words. But I don't have a lot of confidence in Jaylen Brown. I haven't really for a while.
Yeah, and I think we see a lot of that with like the green teamers, the people who love the Celtics that don't really pay attention. They love Jaylen Brown. But I agree with you on this point. Like, Jaylen Brown, I'm not the biggest fan. He's a good player, solid player. But over his career, he's only averaged like 10 points a game.
Yeah, only 13 last year too.
Yeah, so like to give him that big contract, he is 22, and that's very young in basketball terms. When this contract's over, he'll still be in his prime. He'll be 26, 27 years old. He'll be in his like basketball prime at that point. So maybe the Celtics are thinking, all right, well, we signed you to this. We gave you a good deal here. When you're in your prime and you're a better player, you'll be more inclined to sign with us. Hopefully he turns into a better player. Hopefully he's at least all-star caliber this year. He might not make the team because, like, you know, anyone could, we all vote for the all-star team, fans vote. But, and I know Jason Tatum will probably make it over him. Kemba will probably make it over him. So he probably won't get in there. But as long as an all-star caliber player, that's what he needs to be because his contract demands that pretty much.
And of course, since it's an extension of his rookie contract, we have the bird rights on him. If he were to make that leap that we all hope he does and he's in the prime of his career, we can get him for a cheaper contract down the line. And hopefully by then we have a much more compact built championship team.
Yeah, and do you think by like the end of the season we are going to be in the position to go to these conference finals? Like who do you think are better than the Celtics going into the season?
So I had this conversation with my buddy a couple days ago. Right before the season started, actually, he texted me, and before every season we just shoot each other our texts on our playoff predictions, just very very early what we think. Mm-hmm. So when I texted him, I said the first seed would be the Sixers, the second seed would be the Pacers, the third seed would be the Bucks, and then the fourth seed would be the Celtics. And those, obviously, the Sixers, Pacers, and Bucks, I'm all very worried about.
Yeah.
Pacers, I think, are a low-key, very scary team. Once Victor Oladipo comes back, I'm a huge Victor Oladipo guy. Loved him since his days at Indiana. I have a buddy who goes there, so maybe I'm a little biased because I've been up there. It's a great atmosphere. But I loved him over in OKC, even though he had a down year. And since he started blowing up at Indiana, you can only do nothing but root for the guy. I mean, he's a hell of a dude. And I think when he comes back, they made a ton of key acquisitions in the offseason, getting TJ Warren, who balled out in the preseason. Had a tough day yesterday. But again, I think he's shaking off the rust. They got Jeremy Lamb, TJ McConnell, the bench player from the Sixers, is great as a backup point guard. And then they got Malcolm Brogdon, who's the definition of efficiency. Hopefully Miles Turner can make the leap that like everyone's been saying for the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And they just signed Sabonis, who again is a serviceable big man. Kind of hope the Celtics would have traded for him, but it doesn't look like it anymore.
I mean, you never know. They could still make a trade for him. It's just going to be harder now, obviously. But no, that's scary because I agree with you 100% on that. I think the Pacers are a low-key one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. And I think teams like the 76ers. Obviously, the Bucks. I think we both agree that they're probably the best team.
I would say the Sixers, honestly.
You think the Sixers are better? I think
the Bucks downgraded.
I don't know if they downgraded, but I think they have the team chemistry, and I think they're on a mission to get to the finals after last season. I think they're on a mission to get there, and they have the best player in the Eastern Conference. Yeah. They have Giannis, and I think that really does matter when you're making a playoff run. Like, who's going to stop that guy in the Celtics? Because I don't think anyone can. So I think the Bucks are clear-cut number one. Number two, like I think the 76ers could get that second seed. They just have the big men to do it, and they have decent guard play. Three is up for grabs. Like you said, the Pacers, I think the Raptors are a really good team with Siakam leading the charge now. I think they're also on they want to prove something. After Kawhi Leonard left, they want to prove that it wasn't all just him that got them to the finals. So they're definitely on a mission to prove that they can do it without him. And I think that will really reminisce this season with them, because I think they're going to probably get they could get that three seed over the Celtics. A team that I also like is Miami Heat. They looked great last night.
Yeah.
In their first game, they have the big men to do it as well. And I don't know. The Celtics could finish anywhere. They could get the number one seed or number two seed, but they could also finish at five or six, to be honest. Like, this Eastern Conference is so wide open right now. Besides the Bucks, like I said, I think the Bucks are clear cut, probably number one. But after that, anyone could get the 2, 3, 4, 5 seed, or even 6 seed. Not anyone, but like the teams I mentioned before, they're all up for grabs. So the Celtics are in a tough spot right now. And I, like we said before, I really think they need to go get a big man. Is there one you have in mind that they should go get?
Like I said, I was originally thinking Sabonis, and then obviously it's not looking like it now. I think if things fall apart in Detroit, Blake Griffin might become an option if they end up blowing that up. You never know with a franchise like Detroit. It's those lower end ones that they might, that they usually blow up. I'm trying to think of any other serviceable big man in the league that would be on the block. But for the most part,
I don't know what Hassan Whiteside's contract looks like right now, but I'd be interested in him. I mean, I don't know if the Miami Heat, like I said, it's just going to be tough to go get that big man, because the teams in the East know that the Celtics, that's the piece they need. So I don't know if they're going to want to trade the Celtics that big guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you'd have to target somebody in the West who wouldn't really care. If I'm thinking bold, maybe the Timberwolves have a terrible season and they want to blow it up and get rid of Karl Anthony Towns for a heap of bucks. But that's a stretch.
But, yeah.
Imagine.
And we've been down that path before. Like, we've been trying to do that for the past couple of years. At least we tried to do it last year. I think we were in talks with them or trying to pry him away. That would probably be the best option for the Celtics. A good young center that you know has proven himself. And he would probably fit right in with Brad Stevens' team.
Yeah. They'd ask for a king's ransom, though. I couldn't even imagine what we'd have to give up to get Karl Anthony Towns if that, came to be. But I don't know. Even that, it just seems like a stretch to me. We're in the Anthony Davis saga for a while. I think the Celtics are in the game of trying to get big men that they'll never actually, unfortunately, trade for.
But, what do you think it would get? What do you think it would take to get Karl Anthony Towns? Do you think it would take, a first-round draft pick at that point? Or I know they probably want some younger players.
I would say definitely. I mean, they could take on Brown's contract, getting rid of Karl Anthony Towns, who has been locked up. I think they locked him up last year, the year before that. But so probably Jaylen Brown, maybe Gordon Hayward, some young players. I hate to say they might ask for Carson Edwards. I can't imagine we'd give him up. But they need a lot to replace Karl Anthony Towns. He's their whole team. I mean, name three other players on the goddamn Timberwolves. It's just...
I mean, I know Jake Lehman. He's a Massachusetts guy. That's what I know.
Yeah, of course.
But they actually looked pretty good the other day. They played they beat the Nets. They looked pretty good. So I mean, maybe they won't be in the trade market. Maybe they make a run in the Western Conference Finals and make the playoffs. If that's so, I doubt they will trade us Karl Anthony Towns. But I'm hoping the Celtics can go out there and find a serviceable big man, because that's what we need. Absolutely. I think that will propel us, if we can get one, to the Eastern Conference Finals.
And that's why I say the season's so exciting. You know, like you said, that it could finish anywhere between the first seed and the sixth seed. They have all the players to do it. The versatility, they're one big move away from being a near lock.
Mm-hmm. And we both think that locks the center. I mean, we have the guard play as of right now, we think, because Kemba Walker is he's an all-star player and he knows what he's doing, but you never know.
Of course. I think we need somebody with that killer mentality, though. You said you were afraid of Miami. I'm also I think I said Miami was the fifth seed just behind the Celtics. I think they could achieve a lot higher, though. Yesterday, they won. They didn't even have Jimmy Butler. He was out due to a personal tragedy, a family issue. But when he comes back, I think he's a stone-cold killer. And crunch time, Jimmy Butler turns it on. Absolute flamethrower, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the people I am scared of the most in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and he's better than anyone on the Celtics team that we have right now. So if we had to play them going into the playoffs, I'd be scared as of right now. Like, obviously, we have a lot of games to play, but right now he's better than anyone on the Celtics roster. And if we had to play them in the playoffs, I would be pretty scared.
Fender than anyone on the Celtics either. It's ridiculous. He lost.
Yeah, exactly. Talking about the playoffs, so I want to end this podcast. I want to end this episode with, what is your prediction record, or like what? I know you kind of briefly mentioned it, but like, where do you think they're going to fall? Like, what do you think their record is going to be in the Celtics?
So when I looked at their, I went by game and just kind of gave it the win-loss. And what I came out with was, I think they're going to be 49-33, somewhere between the fourth and the fifth seed. Mm-hmm. And that's just being, you know, a little safe. I think they could definitely achieve a lot more, but personally, for what I saw yesterday, which obviously wasn't a very impressive showing, I have them around 49 wins.
So exactly as last season, 49-33. Because that's where they finished last season.
I actually forgot about that, yes.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it right now. They finished exactly at the four seed, 49-33, behind Milwaukee, Toronto, and Philadelphia.
And last year was considered a disappointing season. It's funny how it changes just after a year.
Well, it was disappointing because we knew we had Kyrie Irving, supposedly one of the best players in the East.
Stone cold killer.
And we had a big guy kind of in Al Horford, who was our second leading scorer. Yep. So like you said, I mean, I kind of agree with you. I think we might win a couple more games. So maybe I'm going to say we win 51 games and finish in that three seed exactly like the 76ers did last season. They're 51-31. I think the Celtics will go 51-31, finish in that third seed. And it's going to be close. I think we're going to be separated by like, we're going to be like a game above like whoever else is above us, a game behind the other team
we'll be cutting it close.
Yeah, it's going to be really cutting it close down the stretch unless we go out and get a big guy. And if we do that, I think we're clear cut either one or two. If we can get a serviceable big man.
It makes for some good basketball at the end of the season, though. It's nice. Yeah. You know, most teams who are so good, you don't really have anything to look forward to or watch any good games toward the end of the season because they're trying to rest their players. I'd like to see a little competition down the stretch.
No, and it would be great if we can contend. I don't know when we play the Bucks this season. Or no, I think we play them I do know when we play them. We play them sometime next week. So that will be a good test for us, the Celtics. But like I said, the second game of the season, home opener is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. That's going to be a good game against the Raptors.
Enjoy yourself.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to go. I'm going with Nick Qualia, who's also the host on the Couch Guy Sports Podcast. So that's going to be a fun time. But, that wraps it up for episode 11 of the Raptors Podcast. Make sure to listen on SoundCloud, iTunes, all that good stuff. And we'll be back to you guys next week with another episode.